We've got the team together with the opinion and selections. Let's get it started. RSN 927's Saturday panel.
And the panel has assembled and Dino's back. How are you, Dino?
Hello there, Matty. Good to hear your voice.
Batteries refreshed?
Batteries refreshed, ready to go. Find some winners, hopefully.
An in-betweeny Caulfield today. It sounds like not much overnight, but a bit coming. It's a matter of when to give us an idea of what we're dealing with.
Yeah, and if it is between races and they've just started to turn the track up and then it rains, then it gets a bit messy, so it'll all be play out through the day.
There's not a glamour runner in the Monash, and it's amazing for a state where we don't get a lot of wet tracks and there's a lot of synthetic and so on. There's still a bit of wet track form in the race, so it's a matter of which is best on the day, I suppose.
Yes, yeah, well, there's a glamour wet tracker really in the race.
Oh, there is.
You spoke to the trainer earlier. Yes. I'm not going to pot him after he jumped into the experts.
Do you want to give us a hint of whether you're going to be with him or against him today?
Oh, very with him, yeah, no, absolutely.
There you go. The real experts like him. Warren, he is an amazing, resilient, and it's taken Mick Bell probably 6 years to fully realise that he's an absolute wet tracker, but the funny thing about the stats at Caulfield tell a bit more about Caulfield than Jungle Edge, don't they? 10 runs, no wins, but that's because Caulfield rarely gets into this sort of range.
True, and I'm sensing a bit of a groundswell for Jungle Edge, so I'm hoping that if we're all on him today, we don't moz him.
There you go, Mick, we all love you. Brendan, do you love Mick too?
Yeah, to an extent, sometimes. If the money's in the right place.
You've tipped him fourth, haven't you?
Yeah. Just with a little adjustment after he gave us a few people a clip this morning, I thought I'd better throw him in.
Much love by the public, but just not by people who sit around this circular table, maybe.
Yeah.
Quinny, are the punters in love again with Jungle Edge, even if some of the tipsters aren't?
Yes, he's been the best backed runner in the race. He was an $8 chance when markets were posted on Wednesday. He's subsequently been backed into $6. He's on the third line of betting at that quote, soothing the 390 favourite Bandipur at 550, but Jungle Edge has been the punter's pick to take out the feature.
Just before we look specifically at the first, I just noticed going through the tab fixed odds flux before that there's a handful throughout the program that the punters have really zeroed in on. Have you got any of those at the ready?
Yeah, well, race number 5 is a fascinating betting race because 90% of the money has been for two horses, either Organza or Like to Think So. Like to Think So's been the big firmer after opening at $9.50. And Organza currently yours for theirs at even money. So punters are hoping and anticipating that 3 and 9, 9 and 3 will fight out race number 5 to build a bank for the quaddy.
All right, and we'll get to the other ones as we get to them. I'm very much in Like to Think So's corner in that race. Let's go to the first, and this is one of the more interesting ones of the day. Limited race exposure for these runners because they're babies, so that means limited wet track exposure. So it's going to be a tricky one for punters to work out. There's 10 runners, and Danny O'Brien's Top Weight Can't Be Done is the one that most punters are into.
Clearly the best backed runner, one of the better backed runners on the program, was posted at 4.20 on Wednesday and has been backed into the current 2.70 quote. The biggest single bet on Wednesday was a bet of 3,200. Heads the market now from Avon River, who's a 4.60 second elect, Lady Loire at 6, then we've got Champagne Boom at 6.50, Sakoshi at 7, Star Surprise at 9, double figures or better the best. But race 1, number 1, Can't Be Done to hopefully get punters off to a good start.
I guess the grappling point is going to be the 59 kilos. Dean, map-wise, I guess Can't Be Done's one of a handful that'll show themselves up early.
Yeah, I think he's probably, he can probably sit nearly outside lead. I thought Sakoshi up in distance would probably lead, but he'd be very prominent, Can't Be Done. And then any of the inside three gates have got some speed. Avon River and Mecklenburg County from out wider have got some speed as well. But I thought he'd be in a pretty prominent spot, Can't Be Done.
And punters have also rallied to a trainer in form, and Danny O'Brien is really nailing it at the moment, 4.20 into about 2.60. So despite maybe a little niggle with the 59 kilos, the punters are ignoring that. Are you ignoring it as well?
I am. I just think he's a two-year-old with just a terrific attitude to his racing. I just love the way he knuckles down, even when he was narrowly defeated here by the astrologist. He was, you know, really brave in defeat. And then last start, he nabbed King of Hastings, who then won really well here last start, beating a good filly in Sizzlefly. So it's a strong form reference. He's always been up in the weights. He doesn't go up in weight for winning last start. So I think think he's going to be hard to beat. The one that does have that weight differential with 54 on her back is Avon River, who I think will be fitter for that first up run. Went to the line well. That was behind King of Hastings, so that's the form line. Drops a kilo and a half for that run, gets Craig Williams. Champagne Boom comes through the same form reference, has a Caulfield win to her credit and has to be regarded. And Star Surprise was no match for Can't Be Done at Sale, but ran well and then won at Echuca. I thought maybe next best. But no, I'm pretty happy to be with the favourite here, Matty. 1, 7, 2, and 3.
Just a quick one, the one that punters will sort of look at and wonder what someone like you thinks of it, is maybe a Lady Loire, who all the numbers and the margin and everything was impressive at Wagga. Is the fact you've left it out of the top four suggests you're wary of the big leap in grade today?
It was a good win, and it did run time and won by a big margin. It was a good performance. It gets onto softer ground today and an inside draw. I don't know how much speed I'll have to actually use that draw, but it's around the mark. Yep. If you're having a wider trifecta, it's certainly an absolute to put in, but I wouldn't have it quite as a winning chance.
All right. Warren, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think that the King of Hastings Sizzle Fly form line is certainly a very strong form line for this age group at this time of year, and I'm trusting it. And Can't Be Done just seems to be able to get it done. He was narrowly beaten in the middle of his two victories, but he ran well behind the Astrologist there. He's handled soft ground. He's got the weight, but he'll be up there on the speed. And I think maintaining momentum when you've got a bit of weight on rain-affected ground is important. I like him ahead of Avon River, who'll be fitter with that first up run under the belt. King of Hastings, as Dean outlined, ties that form together. I like the way Star Surprise, I think, showed improvement from the debut run behind Can't Be Done and then getting out late. And neat little horse, looks like it's got a real good wet track action and seemed to quicken nicely at the end, albeit in an easier race at Echuca on rain-affected ground. And I thought Champagne Boom through the same form line as Avon River might be next best. 1-7-3-2.
1-7-3-2 for Warren. What about you, Brendan?
1-7-3-2 for me as well. Can't Be Done. Only a bobble ahead, and he's probably unbeaten at Caulfield 2 runs ago. He's tough. He'll be up there on the speed as outlined. He'll be rolling along. Avon River was good closing off at Caulfield there. First up in for second. Star Surprise liked the turn of footy show, but he got into the clear at Echuca last time to win after running into Can't Be Done. And then Champagne Boom. 1-7-3-2.
1-7-3-2. I'm with Avon River. I just think the weight is the thing that's just nudging me Avon River's way. I thought Avon River was good enough in the King of Hastings race. I think there'll be improvement out of it. And I just think the 59 with Can't Be Done might just push me Avon River's way. 7 to beat 1, 6 and 4. Over to race 2, Warren. And here we have a 1,200-metre race for the mares. And the only scratching here is number 2, Fragonard, which will have came out a while ago, but it was well fancied in the market. So the markets will have been adjusted. And Quinny will tell us about that. First of all, actually, let's go to you, Quinny. Fragonard coming out, obviously a market adjustment required there.
Yes, certainly Fragonard was quite prominent. So deductions there if you did get involved early doors with 14 cents in the dollar. But Charlaine heads the market here at 270. Has been the best backed runner, but this has been one of the quieter betting races on the program. Miss Vixen, a 390 second elect. Forbid Me Not at 550. Beautiful Fly at 650. Missiano at 8. Mystified 9. Silsfeed 18. And Tough Missile, the outsider, has been specced from 41 into 31. Charlaine, the best backed runner, just ahead of Miss Vixen. But as I said, not a huge amount to report at this stage.
What about the speed map, all right?
Don't think there's an absolute standout leader, Matty. I thought Out Wider, Beautiful Flyer, Mystified in the middle, Forbidden Me Not, Tough Missile. They might be the leading group. Relatively small field. I don't think there's an absolute tearaway leader, but I think the front runner will come from that group.
Interesting Cindy Alderson's comments this morning that even though Miss Vixen hasn't been tested on slow to heavy, has been on softish ground, but she's been waiting a long time to get onto a wet track.
Yeah, interesting comments there, because sometimes what you read in the form guide, a lot of stuff happens at home away from the racetrack that doesn't get into that information. I think this is a really even race, and I was taken with the winner of Miss Iano, who did get under the guard to some extent, although was well backed last start, winning at Caulfield on a soft 7 rated track. But you go back through her form and she probably was over the odds for some of the performances that she'd put on the map earlier in her career. I'm going to go with her in an even race, 3 ahead of Charlaine, who comes down from Sydney in good form. I thought Forbid Me Not's going well and seems to be able to make her own luck, ride the speed, get through the ground. And probably one of the more interesting runners in the race for me is Silfeed, who early days was a short course black type, filly mare and then got out to the Adelaide Cup trip last campaign. Looks to have trialled up okay at home to run first up here. 3.581.
Yeah, rarely do you see one coming off a two-mile race that you think could win a race like this fresh, but she's almost in that zone, isn't she, where she could nearly do it.
Well, she's earned the weight, particularly early in her career when she was running very good races in good company, but yeah, she certainly had an interesting life, Silfeed.
Yeah. Is she one that, despite the 3,200, Brendan, that she's a 14 or 15 to 1 chance first up, not a 50 to 1 chance, Silfeed?
Had she stayed around the sprinting trip last preparation, you'd be keen to throw her in the numbers, but getting out to 2 miles, she jumped from 12 to 22 in the run from Flemington to the Gold Coast in early January, so she can certainly mix her trips, but just pushing out to the 2 miles. She did close off okay in a recent jump out, but that was on the synthetic at Ballarat. I'm going to go with Forbid Me Not here, number 8. She's having a really good prep. She's unbeaten 2 from 2, got through the wet at Warrnambool, then again at Sandown. She's got a big drop in weight. She loses 7 kilos after lumping 61 last time. She carried 60 to win on a heavy 10 first up. She's got a good draw. She's got a good record at the trip, I think at the $5.50. An attractive enough price to beat Charlene. A good winner fresh with the big weight. And then drops 3.5 kilos off her last start run. She's been not far away in her third up runs. Miss Vixen onto a wet track. She's had a month and a half between runs, but her run last time at Caulfield was really good against the pattern. And then Miss Iano, who swooped over the top and got them all last time. Likes it wet, likes the distance. She's not going to be too far away, but forbid me not for me. Number 8, 8.5.4.3.
8.5.4.3. What do you reckon, Dean?
Matty, it's not a race I'm that keen on, so for that reason, I'd rather have something small on Silfeed first up. I think she's very rarely raced in non-stakes company or run in races where it's either been too far or she's just been set some big tasks through her career, and I just thought she had a little bit of a chance here first up in a race, as I said, I'm not that keen to get involved in. Miss Vixen can win. She's had a freshen up. She'll probably get off the speed, and the speed will be the bit of the key and the inside draw for both her and Charlene. They're drawn 1 and 2 and probably don't take a big advantage of it. That would be the little worry for me with them. And Forbid Me Not, conversely, she'll be first down to the rail. She'll cross those three inside her pretty comfortably, and with the big weight drop, she's going to give a good sight. But I could see Silfeed running pretty well here, but in a tough race. 1, 4, 5, and 8.
1, 4, 5, and 8. I'm with a couple that have got a bit of a float trip on their hands today. 7 and 8. I thought Beautiful Flyer, coming across from the Jarvis camp from Murray Bridge, absolutely flying. Chosen the right time to come over. If the track gets wet, no drama. I think it's got a really good chance just sitting off the pace and stalking them and justifying the 6-hour drive home. Forbid Me Not's flying as well. The wetter the better, if that's the way the track gets. So I'm just with two on the minimum who are flying and will be really, really competitive. 7 to beat 8. Miss Iano, little chance. Silfeed next best. And I take on board what Cindy says. And Charlene's also in the mix. So tricky race, but I'm going to go with my gut. And my gut says 7, 8, 1, and 3. Let's go across to race 3. Biggish field here, reduced by the scratchings of 4, 10 and 17, Quinny.
Very popular galloper here. Number 15, Cryptic Jewel, was 5.50 on Wednesday. Had firmed to 4.80 by yesterday morning and has subsequently been back from 4.80 into 4 to head the betting at that quote. Ballet Master, a $7 second elect. Lumion, $7.50. Groundbreak, $8.50. Satori's the second best backbone in the race, $9.50 into 8. Then we've got King Kabuto at $8.50. Special Diva at 12. Urak at 13. Little bit of support at longer odds for the 5, Arancini, who's been 18 out to 21, but 21 back into 19. But overall, clearly the best backed runner, number 15, Cryptic Jewel.
And there's been a little bit of a nibble for the 7, hasn't there?
There has been a little bit of support for the 7, Kalashani Lad, who's been 51 into 23.
I mention that because, A, it's in my numbers, and I know Dean always knows when it's the best time to be on Kalashani Lad. Brendan, take us through your speed map and your thoughts for race 3, and it's a busy field, so it's a pretty important map.
Yep, King Kabuto from the middle, Alverson from out wide, I think they'll be the two tearing on. Arancini, Satori won't be all that far away, Special Diva in that next line as well, but maybe King Kabuto and Alverson, the two to go forward and lead them. Going to give Luumi Yen another chance out to 1,400 metres. He got poleaxed at the start there at Flemington. You wouldn't have thought that's not going to do anyone any favours, getting knocked over at the start. Didn't seem to handle the trip. The jump out in preparation for that run was really good. Gets out to 1,400 metres back round the bend. I think the best of Luumi Yen is better than these. Luumi Yen to beat number 8 Ballet Master. He's in really good form, but he just hasn't been winning. He's the 1600 coming back to the 1400 today. Gets through the wet. He'll be charging on late. 11 Special Diva. She's been tough in her last few. She ran Elite Drake to a half length in that really wet conditions last time there at Caulfield. She'll give a good account of herself again. And then 5 Arancini. Hasn't been on the wet all that often. Didn't run too badly behind Be Good to Your Mother on a soft 6. But from that inside draw, the Causton's team are going well. I think can hold a spot close to the inside if the rail's okay. I think Arancini can be poking through to be in the first fours, 1, 8, 11, and 5.
1, 8, 11, 5. What did you think, Dean?
I'm very keen on Cryptic Jewel here, Matt, number 15. She's come back well. Her first up win was good. She drops 5.5 kilos for that run. She proved that she can handle the wet, and I think Craig Williams has really struck up a good affinity with her because she's a mare that she travels well. About the 600 metre mark, she hits a flat spot. He really rides her hard through that spot, as he did at Geelong, as he did last preparation when he won here on her at Caulfield, and then she's really strong to the line, and I think she's got quite a good future and might have a bit more upside than these. So I'm with Cryptic Jewel, 15 to beat 11 Special Diva. I just think she's a superior wet tracker, and she doesn't get it very often. She ran well last start, and the rain through the day could help her chances enormously. 14 King Kabuto, I had as a pretty limited horse until he was backed off the map to win at Eden Hope and won accordingly, and then went to Adelaide and won, and now he's going to be on pace with 51.5 kilos here. So he's going to give a good sight for a long way, and Arancini back around a turn next best. 15, 11, 14 and 5.
If you were an early Quaddyman, would you be casting wider, or despite the big field, is that your quartet?
Oh, at the most. I'm very keen 15 and 11, actually.
All right. Warren, what do you reckon?
I thought it was another tough race, Matty. And like Brendan, I was giving Luumi Yen a terrific chance first up down the straight, and got that horribly wrong. But he didn't get the best run in transit. He's going well. His jump out leading into this campaign said he was going well. Fitter with that run under the belt, looks to be reasonable speed. Going to give him another chance. One Luumi Yen ahead of 2 Groundbreak, who won that race and looks to have come back well. 15, Cryptic Jewel, really seemed to get through the conditions well last start, and down on the minimum weight, certainly in with a chance. And I thought 9, Alsvin, who brings Buffalo River form to the races from 2 starts ago, and then went and won well at Mornington subsequently, although in an easier race, I think in the mix in an even event here. 1, 2, 15, 9.
1, 2, 15, 9. I'm with Ballet Master. I reckon today's the day. All the conditions suit, fit, nice barrier to sit cosily off the speed and run home well. I thought Kalashani Lab was the best roughie. Third up form's good. Nice effort last start. It's a bit of a peak run looming for mine. I think it's the best roughie in the race. Cryptic Jewel, A Little Hope, and Groundbreak as well. But I'm going with 8, 7, 14, and 2.
Opinion and selections for today's Melbourne racing. RSN 927's Saturday panel.
Where it's 27 and a half minutes past 8, and we're up to the fourth race at Caulfield today, which is probably one of the better, more competitive races on the day, despite the scratchings of 3, 6, 7 and 11. That's hasn't taken the guts out of the race, Quinny, but there's a few market adjustments required, I would say.
Yeah, most of the runners are given a chance, though. The top two in the market, Morrissey and Fight, have both been popular. Morrissey's gone from 320 out to 340 this morning, but already back from 340 into 320 to head the market at that quote. Fight at 350 second leg. The best backed runner is the toppy Smart Alyssum. Was a $5 chance on Wednesday, attracted some support at that quote, and has firmed today from 370 into 360. Bricktop at 9. Santelmo Fuego has been specced at longer odds, 17 into 12 with deductions along the way. Spartan Flame at 13, Angel Lass at 15, Turn the Tide 23, but a good betting race despite the scratchings.
Fight's well known, Dean. Fight has been leading and fighting off all rivals. Is Fight going to cross from a wide gate and have to fight them all off again?
Well, he's up to 1,400, Matt, so I think he will be able to probably come across with Morrissey. It's just a matter of whether Smart Alyssum and one of the roughies with Blinkers first time in Epaulette Prince holds its spot. But, I would think he'll probably come across with Morrissey from out wider.
And what sort of a result are we looking at here? Can Fight and Morrissey stave them all off?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the track's playing, and a little bit of a change with a couple of the scratchings taking a little bit of the pressure out of the race. But I thought that one at each way odds had a chance here in San Telmo Fuego. I just thought that with the speed up front, he might be third pair, just getting a pretty cheap run and a big weight drop on his run at Geelong, and he handles ground. I think he's going quite well. I just thought he was over the odds. Smart Alyssum essentially was never going to lose last start. He was very good, and he handles soft ground. I think he runs well again. Morrissey, having his race's space, seems to be agreeing with him. He was very good at Sandown, and another 4 weeks between runs and fights there, certainly with a chance. His fifth run in first preparation, it's often very hard to do, but had a little freshen up after that last run to win at Sandown, and back to his own age group here. But yeah, just at a bit of value, I thought San Telmo Fuego would run well. 8, 1, 2, and 4.
17s into 12, so two of the four of us are going to be tipping this San Telmo Fuego. I wonder if there might be more. Warren, what do you like in this race?
I thought the win of Smart Alyssum last start was terrific. Great ride from Luke Nyland. Just camped behind the speed. The heavens open up, but he was good enough to dash through and win well. I can see him getting a similar run here. And with the claim for Lockie King, I'm with one ahead of two. Morrissey, who's having his races spaced. I think he was accepted. Might have even been scratched from the race that Smart Alyssum won with a blood profile that the team weren't that happy with, but maybe spacing his runs and the fact that he's running today tells you that he's in good shape to head back to the races. I think Bricktop will appreciate a reasonable speed up front and be strong late, as will 8, San Telmo Fuego. 1, 2, 5, 8.
1, 2, 5, 8. Brendan?
Smart Alyssum for me, Matty. Wasn't great fresh. Ran well from a long way back with the pattern against at Sandown, that everything went his way there at Caulfield last time. Hoping that Fighter Morrissey can drag him a fair way into it, gets the brakes late, darts through. Hopefully he's the one winning. Morrissey was really good at Sandown, as Warren outlined. They weren't quite happy with him last start. They're being patient, waiting for him to be right. So he's going the races today. Means that he's spot on and he's there to run well. Fight's been good. Stretches out to 1,400 metres here in San Telmo Fuego with the big drop in the weight cover to stack of ground there at Geelong with the 61 last time and kept on keeping on. Wouldn't surprise to see San Telmo Fuego win either 1, 2, 4, and 8.
And that's the thing I like the most about San Telmo Fuego was the massive weight drop, and as Dean said on the map, just going to get a lovely just stalking run behind them and gets through the ground. And I thought, no surprise that the punters have backed it in from 17s to 12s, and it'll probably tumble further. I'm on it, 8 to beat 4, 5, and 2. Let's go over to race 5, smaller field here. The scratchings here, Quinny, are numbers 1 and 4, leaving us with a field of 7.
And punters are adamant numbers 3 and 9 will fight this one out. The 3 organs are now $1.75, has been a firmer this morning, and has held the most amount of support throughout the course of the week, but clearly the biggest liability is on number 9, Like to Think So, who was $9.50 on Wednesday. Some decent bets throughout the course of the week include $1,600 at $5.50, $1,500 at $9.50, and $1,500 each way at $5. So there's plenty of early support here for the 9, Like to Think So. Noshio's a $5 chance, Elite Drake $5.50, Aussie Choice $23, as is Travin My Friend, Hanamosa a $51 outsider, but Organza has had more support, but overall the payout bigger for the 9, Like to Think So.
And I have totally missed the boat with Like to Think So. Warren, Kim Hahn set up the nice scenario, when he said basically the two smaller stable runners here, Elite Drake and Like to Think So, will probably settle 1-2 at the very least, and the challenge is to stay there.
Yeah, well, they've drawn the inside two barriers, so if they begin cleanly, Elite Drake, we know he's an on-speed runner, as Like to Think So, who's got the blinkers on and up in distance. So I think certainly that they should get control of the tempo out wider, getting fitter. And if he begins cleanly, Aussie Choice is a horse that can really ramp it up if choosing to do so. And the outside draw of Travi, My Friend, he's also got some tactical speed. So I do think the inside two draws, though, in Elite Drake and Like to Think So, are probably the most likely ride on speed.
If, I mean, the favourite's very well supported here, Organza, but the trick is that it's going to be standing the two rollers up on the speed, a big break. The way the race is going to be run, are you confident that the favourite is, it's going to suit the favourite, Organza?
I think she's the one to beat. I don't know if she has to get absolutely out of her ground. She's drawn just outside those two leading groups, so Craig Williams would be conscious of the fact that the horses drawn inside him are likely to control the tempo. So I think if she's close enough, I think she's got a terrific winning chance, and there should be at least a reasonable even rolling speed to allow her to balance up and get home. I've gone with 3, Organza ahead of Elite Drake, who'll ride the speed and give a sight from the inside draw with a claim for Steph Thornton. She's not badly treated. Like to think so. It'll give a good side also, as will, I thought, No Show was good winning last start and be fitter with that run under the belt. 3.795.
3.795. Brendan, I guess basically what I'm saying is that the challenge for the favourite is to overcome two very much in form, settle 1-2 in the run, soft trackers.
Yeah, if he ends up lobbing behind them, he might need a little bit of luck too if it goes wrong for Elite Drake, and Like to Think So, if they maybe take each other on and just get racing, he might be in a little bit of a trick spot trying to get out. But I'm going with Elite Drake here, number 7. I thought he was really good at Caulfield last time. He was gone on the turn. That race, in your race book, it'll say the track was run on a slow 7, but with the rain that fell between races, I'm sure it was run on a much worse surface than that. He was good at Bendigo the week prior, and then you have to go back. It's only Be Good to Your Mother that got him at Caulfield 2 runs ago. He beat the rest comfortably in Widgie Turf. That's good enough form to suggest that he's going to run well again up on the speed. He's got no weight on his back, and hopefully he can just dictate from barrier number 1 to beat number 3, Organza, has been good through stronger races up north. Just going to need a couple of breaks to go her way if she does end up leaders back, but if she's back and swooping, she's going to be hard to hold out. No Show, number 5, in for third. Won well at Sandown with the 58, drops 4 kilos on that, yet to miss a place second up. Has a good record at the trip and is a winner on wet ground. And then 2, Aussie Choice. He can mix and match his form a little bit, but third up's generally when he strikes. He's won 3 of 5 third up, and he mightn't be the worst in this race. 7.35 and 2.
7.35 and 2. Dean, I reckon if the track's not a disadvantage to on-speed runners, the market might shift around a bit in this race. What's your take on this race?
I think it'll be the first 300-400 metres will be crucial. Yeah, you have got those two from inside draws. Probably a chance of dictating. Elite Drake, Like to Think So, with the blinkers back on. But Aussie Choice with added fitness, and when he gets keen, he just gets rolling. So it'll be really interesting to see how it plays out that first 400 metres. So I think Organza's probably pretty well suited to sit, you know, even if it's 3 or 4 lengths off him, be next pair. And I think probably the one to beat, well enough found in the market. Elite Drake running well with the lightweight, handles a wet, just depends how much pressure there is early. I thought if there was a long odds winner of this race, it'd be Travi My Friend. I just think finally down in the weights, it is back in distance, but at least it'll be hard fit and it does handle a wet. If it becomes a bit of a slog if they go too hard, I thought it was the one over the odds, and I Like to Think So next best. 3.769.
3.769. I'm going with the 2 on paces here. I reckon they might be able to grab the race by the scruff of the neck. Peak run absolutely looming for Like to Think So. Blinkers go on. Good money for it. I just think the scenarios, and I've missed the good odds, so everything adds up to it winning. From Elite Drake, who's absolutely flying. No weight with the claim. This is why I think the favourite here is going to have a real challenge to get past these two, and I think it's under the odds Organza now. So I'm going with 9 to beat 7, 3, and 6, Tavi My Friend. I like it a little bit as well at big odds, but I'm going with the 2 in form fit on paces in this race, but it's a good race just the same. Over to race 6, over 2,000 metres. This is the first leg of the quaddie, the big quaddie, and the scratchings here are numbers 4, 9 and 11, Quinny.
What's a nicer word than mistake?
Error.
I think the tab bookies made an error when they posted Junipal at $5.50 on Wednesday.
Up.
It's not really nicer. It's probably just different ways of saying it.
It's more direct.
So it didn't take them long to find out they'd probably put up the incorrect quote. One bet of 800 at the 550 was the biggest single wager. Has firmed throughout the course of the week and now dominates the market at 240. 75% of the money has been for Junipal, who's now the slight favourite from Tabby Runoff 250 second elect. Aristocratic Miss a $9 chance. Crimson Ace also 9. De Rosa at 10. Then we've got No New Tricks 18. Very Dangerous at 41. Grey Khan 51 with Meteor Rising. But Junipal has been the best backed runner to take out the first leg of the quaddie.
Well, Brendan, the thing that I find interesting is that whilst the tsunami of money has come for Junipal, the second favourite is also solid, isn't it, in Tavi Run? So you've got two, one off the charts and the other one more than steady.
Yeah, and he's going to get his chance in front again here. You'd think Tavi Run, a real turnaround of form when he got up on the speed and was allowed to roll. His run at Sale was good to start prior, but he got back. But, yeah, hard to take anything away from what he did last time.
So he just waltzes away early on and mid-race, Tavi Run? And
he'll come across from 5, Aristocratic Miss drawn alongside. She led, but at a really slow tempo last time at Sale. She might push on, get the ride over with Tavi Run. I think if they just ride Tavi Run to the way they rode him last time when he won, he'll be the one rolling along in front.
All right. Does he hold off Junipal, or does the wave of money get Junipal over the line?
I'm hoping Tavi Run can hold him off. All he has to do is run to what he did last time, and he's going to be pretty hard to beat. And Nikita rated him perfectly there. Goes up a kilo for that victory. Junipal, no luck at the Sunshine Coast last time out. Got held up at a pretty vital stage, but he's the class runner of the race, and he's going to be charging on late. 12 in for third, which is no new tricks. I thought the run at Bendigo was pretty good, and if Tavi Run does hike them along in front, would be one hitting the line pretty hard, you would think. Drops 3 kilos in the weight, and then 7 De Rosa just got into a little bit of a bumping duel last time. Williams goes on, does rise in weight, but I think De Rosa, if he can get through the wet, might be too far away. But the first two look pretty hard to beat, 3, 1, 12 and 7.
Dean, I'm not completely sure if all the data says that it was a monster peak run from Tavi Run, but I guess anecdotally, is it difficult for a horse to repeat a run like that when it hasn't really done it before? Or what do you make of whether it can go do it again? Because it all depends on, you know, the well-backed favourite. If Tavi Run replicates, then maybe it makes life difficult for the favourite.
Yeah, true, Matt. It comes down to trust for me as much as anything, just seeing him do it again. That was a really impressive performance. I just think Junipel's a really good little horse. I know he's only won the one race, but he's often had to run in races that haven't suited, and I thought in the Sunshine Coast Guineas, I know he's beaten a fair margin, but he got badly held up at a crucial stage of the race, and I think he should have been right with the winner on the line, and to me, that's the right sort of form. He had the one run at 1,800. He was narrowly beaten by Bowen Declare, who's a very handy three-year-old. Gets his chance at 2,000. He does have to carry 60 kilos, but I just think he's a superior horse. Tavi Run was very good last start, and he's the danger. I'll be putting him in the quaddy. And De Rosa's the other one, I think, with little chance. Had time between runs, but I suspect will run well, and then a bit of a gap to maybe Crimson Ace, the stablemate of Tavi Run. But I'm pretty keen on Junipal. 1, 3, 7, 5.
All right. Guess what I'm saying, Warren, is if Tavi Run turns up and does exactly the same thing today as it did last start, does Junipal still beat him?
Yeah, I suppose the trust issues that Dean outlined are coming into play there. And by this stage of the day, the way the weather's looking and the way the track is at the start of the day, I think they'll be able to work into the race. And he's very comfortable on the ground, Junipal. He has only won one race, as outlined. That was on a heavy 10 at Donald, won by 10 lengths, and they didn't get through the meeting. It was that wet. So he's very comfortable in the ground. He ran well at the Sunshine Coast without much luck last start. I think he's just got the class to be able to, one, handle the ground, which we know he does, and I think he'll handle the field. 1, ahead of 3, Tavi Run. If he does reproduce that run from last start, he'll be the one that the Junipal's chasing. De Rosa, kept fresh for this, or having the run spaced, probably better to say, and Crimson Ace, who was good winning last start, on 1, 3, 7, 5, and think one's clearly the one to beat.
I'm exactly the same, 1, 3, 7, 5, and, you know, but the only niggle in the back of my mind, I guess that's why the second favourite has also been well backed, is if he does exactly replicate it, then maybe Junipal can't beat him. But I'm going with 1 to beat 3. 7 and 5. All right, we're going to get through one more race and then we'll take a break. This is race 7. This is the second leg of the quaddie, of course. And the scratchings here are 1, 4, 5 and 8. Quinny.
Godolphin's been a firmer this morning, 460 into 4. Overall, the two best backed runners, number 2, Golden Halo, who was 750 on Wednesday, now a 480 second elite with scratchings and deductions along the way. And number 3, Voila, has been 9 into 750. So the best three backed runners here, numbers 2, 3 and 9. Going down the rest of the field, Sweet Jazz, a $5 chance. Then we've got Black Bliss at 10, Street Icon 10, and at longer odds, there's been a little bit of specking for the 7, Blonde Choice, who was $71 on Wednesday, and it's firm today from 34 into 26 if you're chasing a roughie, but most of these given a chance in the second leg of the quaddie.
And I like the fact that the resumer, Black Bliss, hasn't got out the gate. It's still holding its line, isn't it, for a first up tilt number 6. Dino, what about a look at the speed map and some thoughts?
Suspecting probably Godolphin, Street Icon are going to be prominent. Matt Pinion, maybe Blonde Choice. But, just an even speed map. I'm thinking by this stage of the day, the inside just chopping out a little bit won't be a disadvantage for Golden Halo, who's probably going to settle midfield or a touch worse and have to make a run down the centre. But she ran well against the males last start. Back to filly's grade. She was a dominant winner at Swan Hill. I think she's hard to beat. Godolphin's had a freshen up, jump out on the poly track recently at Flemington, look really sharp. I think she'll run well. Street Icon's a filly I've got a bit of time for, and Resumes had a jump out at Burren Beat, looked to go quite well, and 12 Sweet Jazz getting fitted with a couple of runs under her belt. But I'll be also putting Voila in the quaddie, 2, 9, 10 and 12.
2, 9, 10 and 12. Warren, it feels like a wide-ish leg to me.
Yeah, I like the confidence that Daniel Bowman's been exuding, talking about Golden Halo, and I think she's got the right credentials when you go back through her form, how well she's run in better grade than this, and don't have to go too far back because her last run behind Jitra down the straight at Flemington was terrific in the Creswick Series final. Handles the ground, not worried about the draw, and she's the one to beat, I think, and you can back her each way. 2 ahead of 9, Gododdin, who's got some good form lines and that tick over jump out that Dean outlined. 12 Sweet Jazz was just collared last start when Voila just was able to round them up after missing the kick. That was a terrific performance, and I've got Street Icon, who's resuming in as next best. So I'm leaving Voila out, just if she can reproduce what she did last time, a bit like Tavi Run, then she's right in the mix, and sometimes she doesn't have a lot of luck. I put them in 2, 9, 12 and 10.
Nothing for a little Pinion with her lightweight yet, Brendan?
Yeah, got Pinion in for third behind Golden Halo and Gododdin, as outlined by Warren and Dean. I think Golden Halo's got a really good chance. Gododdin with the jump out. Pinion in for third for me. Number 13, got a good record at the trip. Drops 4 kilos off a good run at Sandown and does get through the wet ground. And then 12, Sweet Jazz. Good fresh and solid enough last time out there at Caulfield. So 2, 9, 13 and 12.
I was having a bit of a yak to the hat during the week, a chat to Jim Conlon in real language. He is very confident that if the track got wetter, limited filly, but no weight, and if the track got wetter throughout the day, that should be a really good chance, and she's certainly in my numbers. But Black Bliss is the one for me. I just reckon it's a bit untapped. It's first up. Its form last time in was terrific through good form races, held its line in the market. I just think it's an interesting chance first up, the 6 Black Bliss for Nikita. Pinion is just going to, if the wetter the better, if it gets to that stage, I think it's got a good chance. Sweet Jazz and Voila, next best. But I'm going wide, but I'm backing a few on the fringe here. 6 to beat 13, 12 and 3.
Opinion and selections for today's Melbourne race. RSN 927's Saturday panel.
7 down, 2 to go. Just, again, a bit of a weather watch. It's actually looking lovely and sunny at the moment, but it can change. So we're going to keep an eye on the weather throughout the day because that's going to make or break the day on the punt today. And just a reminder, too, that the track's also heavy air in Sydney today, so you'll be looking for wet trackers up there. And David Hayes did give us a very good push for, I know it's Highland Beat, but he did say that it would be very hard to beat in Sydney today. All right, let's have a look at race 8. This is over 1,100 metres. The scratching here, this is the Monash, by the way. The scratching is number 14, Crack the Code, who I'm imagining has come out because the track's probably just too much on the soft side. Quinny, what do we make of... Take us through the Jungle Edge story this week with the punters.
So Jungle Edge opened $8 on Wednesday, firmed up into $7.50 by the end of business on the day, and has trimmed up again throughout the course of the week from $7.50 into $6 on the third line of betting, but has had more money invested than any other runner, and clearly the tab's biggest liability on the race, as punters love backing Jungle Edge. Soothing the favourite opened at $3.70, just pushed out to $4, but is the second best backed runner in the race, going down the field in market order. Bandipur, a $5.50 chance. Heart Conquered at $6. Malibu Style's been specced from $8.50 into $7. Ken's Dream, $11. I Thought So, $19. Princess of Coins has had a little bit of support at the $21. Miss Norway, $23. Oak Door, $26. Heart Empire, $34. Spending to Win, $41. All About Nikki, the outsider of the field, at $51. The best backed runner, though, is the toppy Jungle Edge. And Matt, if you've looked outside and said it's a lovely day, I'll be very, very wary if you ever give me a compliment.
Well, I'm looking further, and I've had a text just came through from one of my suburban Bayside spies, Marshall, who says, I'm in the shed and it is ing down. And don't ask
pelting.
Why. And don't ask why he's in the shed. He spends a lot of time in the shed. All right, let's have a look. Well, and this is all pointing to Jungle Edge sort of conditions today, I would imagine. Warren, I know there's a little bit of speed digging up inside him, but what do you reckon happens from the wide gate with Jungle Edge?
Well, he comes across. I would think Miss Norway from the inside draw with the blinkers back on. If she begins cleanly, she's a little bit hard to restrain, so I think she'd be forward, coming across the track, Malibu style. Hart Conquered had a degree of tactical speed, as does Spending to Win Bandipur. Oakdoor's been showing speed in his jump outs, but 1,100 metres under these conditions, he's probably not quite as sharp as some of the others, and the outside draw of Jungle Edge probably comes across, and I could even see him sitting outside the leader.
All right, just a little wrap of what the trainer said this morning, because it does involve Oakdoor. The one that you mentioned has been trialling well. Jungle Edge, Mick Bell said that, yep, all going well and very confident today. Peter Snowden with his two runners Spending to Win, and also the other one, I thought so, basically saying yes, they both got their convictions, but he wouldn't be surprised at all if they ran well. And Johnny Sadler was the one I was most interested in. Oakdoor, he said Mellum got off the other day and said this horse is going really, really well. And a little bit of an upside to Miss Norway with the blinkers. And all about Nikki Kim Hahn thinking it had a little place chance at big odds. So that's just a summary of what you might not have heard. What are you going to tell us now, Warren?
I think Jungle Edge has got a terrific chance. It's a great opportunity for Michael Poy in a no-claiming weight for age Group 3, but he handled him so well two starts ago at Sandown, defeating Malibu style. I think this race sets up nicely for him, and I hope I haven't mozzed him by putting him on top, but I think Jungle Edge has got a terrific chance here. Bandipur's an interesting runner. First run for Richard Lemming, did such a good job picking up Dogmatic from the Godolphin operation in the early stages of his career, and Bandipur just needs to hold his form to be competitive. I think Ken's Dream looks to have trialled up nicely to run first up here. He's going to need that little bit of luck to get clear late from that inside draw, but I think he's going well, and I've got Soothing in my numbers, but gee, I remember watching a race with some Godolphin people and thinking that she was really struggling to get around Caulfield, and maybe she's just got to kick off her campaign there, but maybe the 1,100 metres out of that start's not as much of an issue, but she certainly looked awkward in Caulfield at times and had flat spots to work through. 1-3-4-13.
And that was the other one, Kieran Maher with Ken's Dream. Lukewarmish sort of confidence. Yes, to the wet track and going well. Just wondering whether at this stage of his life whether he might be sharp enough, but certainly didn't say he wasn't. He didn't have some sort of a chance. Brendan.
Going with 13, Soothing. Thought her trial was good. She draws well. She's got a good fresh record. Just has to get around Caulfield, as Warren outlined. If she does that, I think she can win this race with the 56.5 for Linda Meach in for second. Wasn't buoyed by the comments of Kira Maher this morning, but Ken's Dream is a horse that just runs well fresh, and if he can continue that, I don't think he'll be too far away. One at a price that likes it wet is Hard Empire. He's run at Swan Hill in the Topaz, wasn't great. He was beaten a length and a half in the Goodwood 3 runs ago. He ran 6 last time at Flemington, beaten a half length behind Milwaukee. He gets the 58.5 here. Has to come up in weight, but does get through the ground. And then Jungle Edge, number 1, 13, 4, 7 and 1.
And you only threw him in because you didn't want to stay offside with Mick Bell.
Yeah, there was probably 3 or 4 that I could have thrown in around him, but I thought I'd better do the right thing and put him in there.
All right, Dino.
I think he's the one to beat, Jungle Edge, Matty. I think it was good when at Sandown. Admittedly, the way the day panned out worked out well for him, but they rode him to his strengths. They go back 3 runs here at Caulfield, and he was ridden to his weaknesses. He was held up and then out-sprinted. He's got to put the pressure on at the 600 and take them out of their comfort zone, and I think that draw really allows that. He can either be outside lead or gradually take over to the front and then really ramp it up from as they're turning, and I think he can put a brake on them and keep going. I think he's the one to beat. Hart Conquered, it's only coming through a restricted grade of late, but I just think he's a chance here. I think he'll get a great run from the draw. I think Team Hawks do put a lot of thought into where they're running these horses, and they obviously think he's good enough to measure up to this sort of weight for age standard. I think Princess of Queens freshened up, didn't have a lot of luck in the Topaz, ran well in Adelaide before that, is a stakes winner here at Caulfield, and I put Soothing in, but when you watch back those replays, the 2 runs at Caulfield, she got around the turn okay, but then as soon as she straightened up, she changed leg and got really awkward and really didn't flatten out. I just hope with experience, maybe she's learned over time, because she has been trialling well and she's very dynamic fresh. 1-9, 10 and 13.
1-9, 10, 13. Quinny, what's the fluck on Soothing? Because there seems to be wariness from the panel?
Just pushed out slightly from 370 to 4, but the way that the money is probably coming for Jungle Edge, if the rain does come, I'd anticipate that that will be the runner that continues to firm up, and who knows, you might get closer to sort of 460-ish about Soothing.
All right, I'm with Heart Conquered for all the reasons that Dean just mentioned. Astute stable, different form line, and it's not an a vintage edition of this race. Loves the ground and all that sort of stuff. I think Heart Conquered's got a terrific chance with good Sydney form lines. Bandipur, I agree with Warren. Richard Lamy has done well with another former Godolphin horse, and this one's got all the ticks. Jungle Edge will be very, very hard to beat, and maybe Soothing for fourth, but I'm not mega keen on it either. For me, on top, 9 to beat 3, 1 and 13. Let's go across to the last. And here we have the scratching of only number 1, El Galail, leaving a field of 10, Quinny.
And a well-backed runner here, number 9, Shrouded in Mist, was $3.80 on Wednesday. Bets on Wednesday included $1,500 and $1,200 at the $3.80. Has firmed throughout the course of the week, including a little trim up again today from $3.20 into $3.10. The clear favourite at that quote, and holds about 70% of the investment so far on race number 9. And we've got Bedford, a 480 second elect. Exasperate's been the second best backed runner in the race, now at 550. Villamont had firmed earlier on in the week 7 into 5, but has gone back out from 5 to 6. Then we've got Master Shahood at 650. Tinker Mosa at 15. Come On Carl's been specced at longer odds, 18 into 17. Royal Ace 17. Arbertino 31. Rebellious Lord at 34. But the best backed runner in the lucky last is number 9, Shrouded in Mist. And since the panel has started, there's been money for two runners, Matt. More support for race 1, number 1, Can't Be Done, who's a $2.90 chance. And one of Dino's selections has continued to firm. Race 3, number 15, Cryptic Jewel.
Thank you, Nicholas. Another wrap from the trainers. Mac was as keen as the punters in Shrouded in Mist. And Kieran Maher basically saying this is D-Day for Villamont. And be very, very cautious. Brendan, what do you reckon?
I think Albertino will lead them. I don't think Shrouded in Mist will be too far away. Come On Carl, race close to the speed last time out, and maybe Exasperate from wider out if he wants to press on, but he did get a fair way back winning at Sandown last time out. But Albertino looks the one that will probably lead them up.
What do you like in the race?
I'm going to go with Shrouded in Mist. She doesn't have to get as far back as she did last time. She was spotting them a fair way at the 1,000, and it was always going to be difficult for her from there. From Barrier 1, Williams won't be all that far off the speed you wouldn't have thought, and trekking clear of the fence at some stage to beat Villamont. As Kieran Maher outlined, D-Day for him today out to his trip. Does have a bit of a gap between runs, though. If he's at his best, he's not going to be far away in this. Master Shahood won well at Mornington in not an overly strong race first up in Australia on Mornington Cup Day, but I think he can run well again. His work late in a trial was good, and then 11 Rebellious Lord dropped 6 kilos after lumping the 60 on the real heavy ground at Warrnambool last time. He didn't look overly comfortable there, but with a bit more weight off his back, I think he can stake a claim in this 9, 2, 4, and 11.
Yeah, I thought he was a 100-to-1 chance with a tiny little flicker of a hope too. Brennan, while I've got you, give us your best and maybe a play today.
Can't Be Done in the first.
Okay, don't do it then. Dean, what about you?
Don't encourage him. Don't laugh.
And then I'll be having something on Elite Drake later on.
Can't Be Done on Elite Drake. Dean, what do you like in the last?
I'm tipping Villamont. I take on board what Kieran Maher said about him, that it is a D-Day, but I like him with that little bit of time between runs, and I like him stepping up in trip today, and if he's going to do it again, I don't think he had a lot of luck two starts back. He was okay last time and ready for this trip now. Master Shahood, interesting runner. He showed good promise when he was down here through March and April, freshened up, prepped up in Sydney, looked to trial well recently on the synthetic. 9, Shrouded in Mist, as Brendan outlined, can be a lot closer to the speed from Barrier 1, and 3, Bedford, off a race that wasn't that strong, but he did win very easily at Sandown. 2, 4, 9, and 3.
And what about the day itself? What are you going to do?
I tend to agree with Brendan. I think Can't Be Done's got a good hope in race 1. My best is race 3, number 15, and that is Cryptic Jewel. I like Junipel, race 6, number 1, so I'll be having a little parlay of those three, I think, Matty.
Terrific. Good luck and welcome back to the airwaves.
Thanks, Matt.
Warren.
I like the way Master Shahood is progressing into this preparation. He's effective, fresh, and I think he's got a terrific chance at each way odds. 4 ahead of 9, Shrouded in Mist. That race just got away from a few of them last start, I'm sure. The way this race shapes up, she'll settle a bit closer. Bedford was strong winning last start, comes back slightly in distance, but he'll be strong through the line here. And Villamont's in the mix. I think he's probably The runs that he's had on rain-affected ground are probably a little bit inconclusive. They mightn't have been in his right distance range, but I'm not totally convinced that he gets through the ground, but he's certainly got a winning chance. 4.9.3.2. My best is race 6, number 1, Junipel, and I'll be keeping an eye on the weather, but certainly whatever happens, Junipel's my play of the day.
Absolutely, and it'll handle whatever the weather delivers, and the weather is, as Quinny said, it's starting to look more threatening out the window. Me in the last, 10 Exasperate, I think, might be the one here. I love. I didn't beat much, but the way it thundered home, I think it'll just keep going. 10 on top from 2, 9 and 5 for me. My little play is going to involve, I really like to think so in race 5 and Junipel, so it's all steering me towards early and late quaddies. And I like Black Bliss and Pinion in race 7. So I'm just going to think about quaddies today. Thanks to the panel.